One day, Abby Johnson was working with Planned Parenthood in an abortion clinic in Texas. The next day, she's standing with pro-lifers across the road. You'll hear Abby's story today.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
A few weeks ago, I got an email from the producer of the show, Marcus French, and he asked me to take a look at a new book called Unplanned and to read the opening chapter, a book by Abby Johnson about her own journey from working in a Planned Parenthood abortion clinic to joining the forces for pro-life, for the life of the unborn. What a stirring chapter. What a stirring story. Today, we have Abby with us. Michael Brown, thank you for joining us on The Line of Fire. 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-348-7884. If you go to AskDrBrown.org and click on The Line of Fire, you will get plenty of relevant resources that will help with today's show. I want to get right to Abby. Abby, thank you so much for joining us on the broadcast today. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
What I want to do first is ask a question that could help a lot of our listeners, because most of us, all of our believing lives, have been strongly pro-life. Many of us never had anything to do with abortion and just look at it as a terrible social evil. Could you give us the other side of the perspective for a moment, Abby, and why people thought this was actually a good thing, that you were actually providing a positive service for people?
Well, you know, I got involved with Planned Parenthood because they told me that they wanted to reduce the number of abortions, that they wanted to make abortion rare, and that, you know, without legal abortion, women would be turning to these back alley abortionists and they would be dying from illegal abortion procedures. And I thought that sounded terrible. And so I thought that, you know, the best thing to do would be to provide a safe place for abortions to happen and be performed. And, you know, the best thing to do would be to reduce the number of abortions. And so that's what I thought I was doing.
Now, you hold a B.S. in psychology from Texas A&M University, an M.A. in counseling from Sam Houston State University, and you began working with Planned Parenthood in 2005 and then progressed to the position of community service director, health educator. You were a liaison between the community and Planned Parenthood as a media correspondent. So what did this entail as far as you being an advocate for abortion, or at least for Planned Parenthood?
Well, I started in 2001 as a volunteer, and I think that, you know, I was in college. I just think I was very naive. I know I was. I didn't really know much on either side about the pro-choice or the pro-life debate. I grew up in, you know, a pro-life home and, you know, believed that I was pro-life. But, you know, when the woman, I started talking to the woman from Planned Parenthood, she started talking to me about, you know, these pro-choice, she started giving me these pro-choice talking points. I just fell right into it. And I think that unfortunately is very common with a lot of people who don't grow up with kind of a really firm pro-life base and foundation.
All right, Abby, a little later in the program, you have to leave, I'm going to talk about some of the biblical foundations and how to respond to some of the talking points. But you were working in Planned Parenthood, you yourself with a baby of your own on the way, and something very dramatic happens. Your book is called Unplanned. We've just got 30 seconds before the break. On the other side of the break, we'll talk about your story. But who did you write this book for, Abby?
I wrote it for anyone. I wrote it for people that are working in the industry. I wrote it for pro-lifers. I wrote it for people who are pro-choice advocates. I wrote it for anyone who is interested in learning about this movement on either side.
All right, thank you. We'll be back with Abby Johnson's amazing story right here on The Line of Fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
My guest today is Abby Johnson. She quit her job in October 2009, became a national story. Why? Because she was the director of a Planned Parenthood clinic in Texas. She participated in her first actual abortion procedure and thereafter walked across the road to join the Coalition for Life. Her book, Unplanned, her website, abbyjohnson.org. Abby, thanks so much for being with us today on The Line of Fire.
Thank you for having me.
Well, please tell the story. I know you've told it many times before, but please tell the story of how you got involved with an actual abortion procedure and how that simple event changed your life.
Well, I had been in the room before for abortion procedures, but had never been involved in an actual ultrasound-guided abortion procedure. And so that's a little different because you actually see the image of the uterus and the womb during the abortion. And you see the fetus, you see everything, you see the baby during the abortion. And so I'd never witnessed that before, to my knowledge. Ultrasound guidance had never been used in our clinic before during an abortion. And we had a visiting physician that day at his clinic, at his private practice. He only performed ultrasound guided abortions. And so he was going to perform one at our clinic just to use as a teaching tool or a learning experience. And so I was in and I was going to be assisting and actually holding the ultrasound probe on the woman's abdomen during the procedure. And what I saw was very shocking to me. You know, Planned Parenthood had told all of us, abortion counselors, that the fetus had no sensory development until 28 weeks. But what I saw on the screen was a 13-week-old baby in the womb fighting and struggling and trying to flee from the abortion instrument. And that was shocking, and it was very life-changing for me.
And what was it that was so shocking to you as a woman? I mean, you certainly knew that abortions dealt with a baby in a womb or what you may have thought as a fetus. What was it that was so altering in your perception at that moment?
Well, to know that that child was feeling what was going on, you know, that there was kind of this fight-or-flight response. I mean, that's something that's very human. I'd never really looked at the fetus as something that was living, honestly. And so I just kind of thought, well, you know, I didn't really think much about it at all. And I just thought, well, abortion's legal, and it needs to be performed in a safe place, and here we are to do it.
And you would always talk about the baby in the impersonal terms as a fetus. No one would ever call it a baby within a Planned Parenthood clinic, correct?
That's right, yeah. You're not allowed to say baby.
All right, so you're actually told don't use the word.
Right.
So how did this compare, then, with your own experience looking at an ultrasound of a baby in your womb?
Well, I have a 4-year-old daughter, and I remembered being pregnant with her, and I remembered that 12-week ultrasound that we had of her, and we were so excited at that time, and I remember looking at the ultrasound of this child and the child that was about to be aborted, and I remembered that ultrasound that we had of Grace, my daughter at the time, and just we were so excited and so thrilled. You know, it was the first ultrasound we had of her where she didn't look like a bean, you know, she actually mm-hmm. looked like a person. And so comparing the two in my mind and just realizing that what was about to take place was probably going to be pretty horrible. But, you know, trying to cast that out of my mind, you know, it's going to be fine, Abby, it's going to be okay. This is what Planned Parenthood has told you. This is what you've told thousands of women. It's going to be okay. But then what I saw on the screen was something very different.
I've read statistics that 75-80% of women who see an ultrasound of their baby before an abortion procedure decide not to go through with it. That would certainly make sense to you after your experience, wouldn't it?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, yeah, and I mean, some pregnancy centers, they have success rates as high as 95%. You know, Planned Parenthood, there are some times where women will request to see their ultrasound and, you know, see their child, and, you know, they won't show them the full picture of their baby. They may show them the top of the head, or they may show them a leg, and they'll say, oh, see, this is it. See, it's nothing to see. They won't show them the full profile of their child. And, you know, why not? I mean, if they believe in choice,
yes,
they believe in women having this informed choice, this informed consent, why would they hide that from them? Well, because it's all about the bottom line. They need those women to choose abortion. It's not about choice for them. It's about money.
All right. I was about to ask the question about Planned Parenthood and money. It's always put forth fighting for the rights of the women and informed choice and the choice word thrown at us until it's sickening to hear. You're in the inside of it, in the inside of the industry. We know the power of money. We know that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, according to 1 Timothy chapter 6. So in your mind, it's clear to you that the driving force behind all this was money and not some type of alleged compassion.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I mean, I was asked to increase my abortion numbers by my supervisors. I was told that we needed to double our abortion numbers. We need to get more women to the clinic for abortions. You know, it's exactly why they are performing these medication abortions without doctors in-house. You know, the more access women have to abortions, the better as far as they're concerned. And even if the care is poor, even if the women never even see a doctor, even if they're never evaluated by a doctor, they don't care because they don't really care about patient safety. They don't really care about the women. They just care about them choosing abortion so they can get that $450.
Did you ever have that conflict? Did you ever feel that way before this life-changing event that somehow this was greed-driven? Did that occur to you, or were you just so much in the system that you didn't allow yourself to think about it?
No, I did, actually. That last year, probably the last 9 months that I worked there, there had actually been some tension in our management meetings with me and some of the other directors and, you know, higher management than I was and my supervisors and my supervisor, my direct supervisor and myself. There was actually some tension there because of these directives that we were receiving about, you know, patients and how we were to treat them and client care and the abortion numbers and things like that.
Amazing. You know, the fact that we're talking in Congress now about defunding Planned Parenthood, boy, that discussion has been a long time in coming. We've only got a couple minutes before break, but there were these people across the street, Coalition for Life. What did you think about them before your own perspective changed?
I thought that they were there giving misinformation to clients. You know, I thought that they genuinely cared about the women going in. I just thought that they were giving them false information about us and that they really didn't understand what we were there to do.
Did they ever seem mean-spirited or angry or hateful in what they were saying or doing?
Not with the Coalition for Life. No, not that group. There were some that did. But no, not that group, not at all.
And how did people respond, the people that were coming in to have abortions or people driving by on the street, how did they respond to the Coalition for Life people?
Most of the people they were responsive in a very positive way. I mean, of course, you're going to get some that are, you know, ugly or mean-spirited, but most of our clients, I mean, actually, I mean, days that we didn't have people walking them in escorts that were volunteer escorts to Planned Parenthood. I mean, sometimes we have, you know, 50% of our clients would go to the fence and take their information.
Praise God. So they were making a difference.
Very effective.
They were making a difference being there. When we come back, the other side of the break, I want you to talk to women who are wrestling with the issue of abortion, that for them they have an unwanted pregnancy. Perhaps those who've had abortions, is there hope for them? And we'll talk more about your book, Unplanned. We come back with our guest, Abby Johnson. Her website, abbyjohnson.org. You know, two great social issues in our day, abortion, gay activism. To be informed, we need to make a difference. We've got a resource we want to make available for you as well. Stay tuned, and we will be back shortly.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
It is our goal here on The Line of Fire to be a voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Jesus changing us, and we in turn changing society. And one of the great questions that God can ask us who have lived in this Roe v. Wade generation, those, thankfully, who have been allowed to live after so many millions and millions and millions have been cut down in the womb and not allowed to come into this world, God will ask us, what did we do about abortion? My guest on the program today, Abby Johnson, author of the book Unplanned, her website, abbyjohnson.org. Abby, you've told about your own experience working in a Planned Parenthood clinic, witnessing an ultrasound-assisted abortion and the impact that had on you. Did you literally leave your job there and literally walk across the street to stand with the people at the Coalition of Life?
No. Basically, what happened was I left my job and I drove over there. I could have walked. Their office was conveniently located next door, but I walked over to the Coalition for Life office and told them that I wanted to leave, and they said that they would help me, you know, find another job, and I resigned a week later, and I didn't have another job. I didn't know what I was going to do, but I knew that it was the right thing to do. I knew, you know, that God was leading me out of there, and I knew that I had to leave.
Now,
at
this point in your life, Abby, what was your relationship with the Lord?
Well, you know, I was baptized when I was 8, and I, even while I was working at Planned Parenthood, I had attended church every Sunday, and I played the part of a good Christian. You know, I sat in church, and I said my prayers, and I, you know, did all of that, but there was definitely a disconnection between me and God. You know, I didn't want to really pray because I didn't want to hear his answer. I didn't want to hear him say that I needed to leave Planned Parenthood. You know, I remember, you know, sometimes wondering if I would go to hell for what I was doing, you know, working in Planned Parenthood, but just, you know, thinking, well, you know, just kind of putting it on the back burner and just thinking, well, you know, I hope I don't die while I'm working here.
Wow. Amazing. And the church you were in, did they ever talk about abortion?
Well, they're actually, it was actually a pro-choice church.
Aha. Uh-huh. So just soothe your conscience a little bit more by getting with people who are also in denial of life
absolutely.
And truth here.
And I mean, unfortunately, it's, you know, something that abortion is, you know, steeped in to our Christian culture. You know, we see 78% of abortions taking place by Christians.
Yeah, that's the shocker. I remember reading a survey that had been done where Christians on evangelical campuses, young women on evangelical Christian campuses, had abortions at the same rate as secular women, which is utterly shocking. And, of course, the horrific murder of abortion doctor George Tiller, murder in the name of life, which makes it all the more ugly, took place when he was in a church service. Abby, what would you say to a woman right now who's one of the many that you meet with, talk with, who really has, in her mind, an unwanted pregnancy, and it is a crisis for her, and she doesn't know what to do, and it seems like abortion is her best and easiest option? What would you say to that woman listening now?
You know, I tell women who I talk to that sometimes abortion does seem like an easy option right now. But it's a, you know, it is a decision that you will live with for the rest of your life. It's not something that you will easily be able to get out of your mind. And, you know, I always tell people, don't make a decision that you will live to regret. and you won't ever regret being a mother. I don't ever regret the decision to have my daughter, but I do regret the two abortions that I had. And, you know, you will regret having an abortion, but you will not regret being a mother.
And Abby, what about crisis pregnancy centers? Can those help people with other alternatives?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I encourage women to go to crisis pregnancy centers, you know, get all the information, get the facts. You know, before you make a decision, you know, get the facts about abortion, get the facts about parenting, you know, and maybe you don't think that you can parent your child, and maybe you think your child's unwanted, but I promise you, your child is wanted by someone. And, you know, maybe adoption is the best option for you, and crisis pregnancy centers can talk to you about all of that information and give you, you know, all of your options in a very loving way, and they want to be there for you and help support you in whatever decision that you make.
And Abby, one last question. I've got 2 minutes before our break here. Your average Christian, just someone loves the Lord, church going, feels committed to Jesus, wants to share their faith. Is this an issue that should concern every Christian? Should we all have some type of conscience about abortion? Or is this maybe just a few people are called to deal with this?
No, I believe this is an issue for everyone. I believe that every single person, every single Christian is called to the pro-life movement in some way. And there is a place for every single person in the pro-life movement. And I think that we need to be active in the pro-life movement. And it's not just about donating $20 here and there. It's about, you know, being the hands and feet of Christ and getting our hands and feet dirty in this movement and being willing to, you know, stand up and be actively pro-life and go out there and pray on the sidewalks of abortion clinics and volunteering at pregnancy resource centers and going to the capitals and lobbying for good pro-life legislation. That's what it means to be pro-life. And I think that, you know, all of us, especially at the time where 1 in 3 women are having abortions, now is the time more than ever that we need to be using, you know, our hands and feet that God has given us to do just that.
You know, and Abby, you're speaking to many people in New York City right now. New York has staggering abortion statistics. Something like 40% of the babies aborted in the African-American community. It's over 60% of pregnancies terminated in abortion. It really is something that's just devastating our culture. And I'm so glad that you've obeyed the Lord, that you stepped out in obedience, and that you wrote this book. Abby, 30 seconds. What can readers of Unplanned expect to get when they read your book?
I hope that they feel encouraged. You know, I know a lot of times people are in this movement for a long time and they feel like they're not making any difference. I hope they feel encouraged. And just, I hope they feel like that they know that they are making a difference to someone and that their prayers definitely made a difference to me.
And when you met these pro-life people, did they tell you that they had been praying for you?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Thank God for his mercy. Abby, God bless you for your work. I hope many people read Unplanned. I know we were stirred as we got into the book, and may you stand strong as a testimony for life.
Well, thank you so much.
God bless you. Abby Johnson, author of the book Unplanned, her website, abbyjohnson.org. Take a moment, go to askdrbrown.org. Askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire, chock full of resources on this very subject that will help equip you to make a difference. That's why we're here.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hi, we've been talking about abortion. I want to open the phone lines now and interact with you and get some input. Here's the number, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. You can weigh in on Facebook. That's Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown. Be part of our Facebook community. I've got a few questions for you. Number one, can you make a biblical case against abortion? Can you make a biblical case against abortion? We just heard the story of Abby Johnson, who headed up a Planned Parenthood clinic, was convicted in her own life, and then left that clinic and instead joined the forces for life. Can you make a biblical case for the pro-life cause and against abortion, the wrongness of abortion biblically? I mean, come on, what's so bad about it? What's so wrong about it? It's a fetus, it's in the womb, and it's not a baby walking around somewhere. That's one question for you. Can you give me biblical basis for what you believe? Can you just tell someone, even without quoting scripture, why abortion is wrong? Can you do that? We want to equip you. We want to help you make a difference, right? So that's the next question for you. Now, I've got a third question, all right? 866-34-TRUTH. First question, make the biblical case for abortion. Give me a couple of your best points, a biblical case against abortion. Second question for you. Without quoting scripture, can you tell someone why abortion is wrong? What's so wrong? What's so bad about it? Our guest that we just had on, Abby Johnson, said something that I totally agree with. This is an issue for every believer. This is something every single child of God should be concerned about. So what's our case against abortion biblically, rationally, even without quoting scripture? And then third question for you. What do you think about those who hold up signs in front of abortion clinics showing pictures of aborted babies? I mean, torn up baby parts, babies just butchered in the womb or burned terribly in the womb. They hold these pictures up in front of abortion clinics. It gets people very upset. Children come by with their parents and start crying when they see that. Is that right or wrong? Should that be done? 866-34-TRUTH. In fact, let's play the beginning of audio clip number 2, where you hear some people calling in to an organization that shows pictures of aborted babies. Listen to some of these voicemails.
What is the matter with you people? My son is home throwing up after seeing one of your billboards for the second day in a row. I am going to do everything that I can to get you out of my neighborhood.
Little children do not need to see that. I think that is so wrong.
We've got 2 kids who are now crying because they saw that. You're violating my rights and my children.
I'm appalled by the photos you have on your vehicle.
My daughter starts crying in the back saying, scared, Daddy, truck, scared.
You should be absolutely ashamed of yourselves.
My 2.5-year-old just saw your truck and has been in a crying fit.
Y'all have got some nerve. I just had to explain to my 5-year-old daughter why there was a picture of a dead fetus on the side of 5 trucks that we just passed.
I just want to let you people know that you're pretty sick and disgusting.
I can't believe that you could be so calloused and rude to do something, to expose children to something that they need nothing to know nothing about.
My child was screaming, crying, having a fit, and wants to know what it is.
How dare you fly that banner over top of a T-ball practice?
I think you people are sick.
What you are doing is totally unacceptable.
I think you people should be shot.
All right. Those are some of the reactions on voicemails to an organization which shows pictures of aborted babies. Should we show them or not? We got a whole lot to talk about. Phone lines aren't lit up. We'll be back with your calls on the other side of the break right here on the Line of Fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We are focused on the evil of abortion and what we as God's people are called to do in this situation, which still presents itself to us in critical, critical ways. Michael Brown, thank you for joining us on the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. AskDrBrown.org, click on the Line of Fire. Just a quick note to all of our friends in the New York area. I will be in New York speaking 6 or 7 times beginning April 2nd. I'll be with some friends in a Messianic congregation on Long Island April 2nd, then with some friends at another congregation, Long Island, Sunday afternoon, April 3rd, then in Freeport, Long Island, for an Awakening Conference Wednesday and Thursday, April 6th and 7th, and then Saturday and Sunday with Bishop Joe Matera at Resurrection Church. That'll be April 9th and 10th. So to find out about that, just click on AskDrBrown.org. You'll find that all on the homepage. If you listen to the show, by all means, come talk to me. If you have ordered a copy of A Queer Thing Happened to America, bring it with you. I will gladly sign it. And if you haven't ordered your copy yet, by all means, go to Amazon.com and do so. We just talked about the abortion rates in New York, the staggering rates in New York City. Chaplain Viviana in New York, what can you tell us about what's happening in New York City?
Well, when Bill 371 became a big issue in the city council, a great group of pro-life evangelicals joined with the priests of the Catholic Church and even Jewish leaders, and we decided to fight and try to get the signage and verbiage, the laws, knocked down. We were not successful, but God birthed a pro-life movement, like the third wave of a pro-life movement that was very much concerned with the issue that, like you had mentioned, the communities of color are getting more than their proportion of babies that are dying. And we said, no more, not on our watch. So God has birthed that. We're having a series of educational seminars. I would love to come and meet you at Joe Matera's. I probably will be there at Bishop Joe Matera's, and I invite everyone in the New York community. And regarding your three questions,
let me just jump in okay? And I may let a few folks answer some of the other questions because you've given us really good information, and we got our phone lines pulsating.
Yeah. I'm so glad.
Yeah. But what I want to discuss with you for a moment is this. You know, you read the history, Margaret Sanger, some of her views of the people of color, almost looking at them like weeds, lesser people that needed to be eradicated. And the clear charges that have been made that Planned Parenthood puts clinics historically in poorer neighborhoods, to not out of compassion for the poor, but to reduce the number of people coming from those communities. Do you believe those charges, eugenics, black genocide, do you believe there's truth to those charges?
Not only is it truth, it's been documented in Ma'afa 21.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it can be viewed on YouTube. What has happened is that Planned Parenthood is the extension of the eugenics that they weren't. They said it's not popular to say it this way, so let's make it into Planned Parenthood. There's more than enough. As a matter of fact, in San Antonio, Texas, they are building one of the largest abortion clinics in preparation for this health care bill. I'm telling you, it chills my bones, and I believe that God is waking up the church today so that sermons will be preached, so that information will go out, and even uncovering Planned Parenthood. This is all a God thing, and I'm just so excited to be, you know, all of us working together to say the numbers will plummet and God will eventually end abortion in our nation.
Yeah, Viviana, I absolutely believe that. Let me say this last thing. I look at this as a real satanic attack on the African-American community, perhaps more than any other community. And so many of these people are church-going in their background and more spiritually oriented in their background, and yet this area of attack, when you look at the statistics, of black Americans that have died, car wrecks, heart disease, you look at you add them all up and it pales compared to how many have died through abortion. So I look at God wanting to raise up an army of deliverers, just like with Moses, just like with Jesus, and the devil trying to cut it down. So thank you for calling, and I look forward to meeting you either April 9th or 10th in Brooklyn.
Could I give my email in case anyone's interested in the movement?
Sure, go ahead and do that.
That would be chapviv, C-H-A-P-V-I-V, at gmail.com. And God bless you. Take care. I'm glad about your show.
All right, thank you so much. Let me go to Tisha in Manhattan. Tisha, I wanted to ask the question if any mothers would call in, any women who had had abortions and could talk to us about the effect of abortion. Then I saw your call here. What's your take in terms of the effects of abortion? I see you've got 7 children of your own. What can you tell us?
Well, I don't know the effects of actually, having one because I've never done it. But I know that each and every one of my child is a blessing. And at the time, I would think I wasn't ready to have them, or I couldn't deal with it financially, or it wasn't the right time. But I also know that God doesn't give us what we can't handle, and He always makes a way.
All right. And what's the age range with your kids, Tisha?
Well, my oldest one is 19, and my youngest is 3 months. And I'm 34. I had my first one at 15.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
So you have all the reasons to have aborted your kids.
Yeah. I mean, the world's reasons of people, yeah. And when I was young, I always thought it was an exception. Maybe if you got raped or maybe. But now, as I'm coming into God's way and His truth, nothing happens in life that's not meant to happen, good or bad. He has to give the permission for it to happen. So.
And I guess you look at your family and you think if any one of those 7 kids was missing, it would be an absolute loss, a terrible loss.
I would be heartbroken. They are all a blessing to me.
Got it. Hey, thank you for weighing in. May God bless you and your family. Thank you so much. 866-34-TRUTH. We will talk about the biblical case against abortion, and I do want to get your feedback about the holding up of signs in front of abortion clinics and other places showing the results of abortion. Let's go to the biblical question. Alex, New York City, thank you for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes. In the Old Testament, when God was giving Moses the commandments, he said when they were going to drive out the Canaanites that the reason they were driving them out is they were sacrificing their children. Now, can that be, that's related to abortion, and how come the church hasn't caught on to that?
Well, actually, Alex, I've seen pro-life organizations use those very texts about, and even the children of Israel were guilty then of sacrificing their own children to Molech, passing them through the fire, burning them alive. Some would argue that you're talking about killing a child within the womb as opposed to killing a child outside of the womb. But I agree with you that it's that same spirit that is going to destroy human life, destroy innocent, precious life. And I remember seeing a video from Operation Rescue, which was a pioneer pro-life organization. And in that video, made probably in the 80s, they quoted those very scriptures and tied it in with abortion. And at the very least, it's that same destructive attitude of innocent life that needs to be captured. Hey, thank you, Alex, for weighing in. I appreciate it, sir. 866-34-TRUTH. You know, I think of Psalm 139. I'm sure others of you have other passages. I think of Psalm 139 and how the psalmist talks about being carefully formed, knitted together in the womb, intricately formed, fearfully and wonderfully made. I think of Jeremiah in the first chapter, where the Lord says to him, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." So God forming individuals in the womb. Paul saying in Galatians 1 that he was set apart from the womb by God so that God would reveal his son in him. These are all significant tests. Texts, not tests, that we need to pay attention to in terms of life in the womb. We'll get back with you more of your thoughts about abortion from a biblical perspective, its wrongness in general, and the question of, is it a good thing to hold up these signs in front of abortion clinics? Another area of great social concern, as you know, we deal with all the time on the broadcast here, gay activism. We have a great heart to reach out to the gay and lesbian community and demonstrate the love of Jesus to them. Can you be gay and Christian? How do I minister to gay and lesbian friends? We've got five DVDs that will really help you. Great resource. Give us a call at 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978 to take advantage of that resource. Back with more of your calls on the other side of the break.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
The first half hour of today's program, we talked to Abby Johnson. She had worked at a Planned Parenthood clinic and then had a change of heart and has joined the Forces for Life, wrote the book Unplanned. And we have now opened the phones for discussion about the evil, the horror of abortion, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, talking through what the Bible says, talking through the wrongness of abortion, talking through some of our activism to stand against abortion. Philip in Houston, Texas, you've got a unique perspective on all this, a father, and also experience with abortion. Please tell us about it.
Yes, Dr. Brown, I know you don't have a lot of time. I feel like I have so much to say on this subject. I am a father of eight children, and my wife is currently pregnant with our ninth. But we have, in the past, before we came to the Lord, we had made the decision on two occasions to take what some people call the easy way out. And we have to live with that. We have to live with that pain and regret. I thank God for his forgiveness for our sins, because I know, and my wife knows, that when it comes down to it, we're guilty of murder. I can't imagine looking at any of my children and saying that you shouldn't be here. I have one child that is disabled, and even me, on our hardest days, I love him. And I cannot imagine not having any of them. And I know, you know, having kids can be what some people would consider to be a burden financially, time-wise, whatever. It takes all your resources. But I would rather live in poverty with my children than to live with what people would consider to be freedom, to just go about, you know, the day-to-day fulfilling whatever, you know, convenient desires they have. And I'm not saying that people go to get abortions because evil in nature, because they just want to kill babies, but people don't know. They don't know the truth. They don't understand the pain. I think if people knew, it would be different.
Philip, you have spoken loudly and clearly, sir. I don't want to add anything to your words. I just want people to feel the weight of what you had to say and know for sure that, of course, not only does God forgive, but your words today are going to save many lives in the future. Thank you, sir. God bless you. You heard it. That's the pain of a father. Father of eight with a disabled child. That's the pain of someone looking back and saying, my wife and I in the past had abortions, not because they were trying to do some evil thing, because they made a wrong decision. I hope some of you listening will say to yourself, maybe there is another way. Maybe there is another way. There is another way. There are crisis pregnancy centers all around with folks ready to help and accessible. If you don't know how to find them, give us a call. Call us at 800-278-9978, 800-278-9978. Say, hey, look, I'm thinking of having an abortion. I'm thinking of having an abortion. And I need help. All right. And we will refer you to folks who can help. Rich in Coram, Rhode Island, thank you for calling the Line of Fire. All right, Rich is gone. Susan, also in Houston, Texas, what's on your mind?
My name is Susan. I'm a nurse, and I work with babies and everything, you know, but 100%. What is the reason? Why you had to have an abortion? Why you have an abortion? I know you are on a Christian radio station. I never heard you talking about some morals or character or anything like that. All these children, 100% is born all around welfare. You know, welfare is the biggest reason having, you know, 12-year-old. It starts at the age of 12, 13, 14, 15.
Susan, are you a Christian?
Yes, I am a Christian. I'm from India.
I know. I can tell from your accent. I've been to your wonderful country 17 times. Susan, did you listen to my show yesterday about how to deepen our relationship with Jesus?
Yeah, relationship. One lady said that, you know.
No. Susan, did you listen? All right. Susan, please listen. The reason we're talking about abortion is because we love Jesus. The reason we're talking about abortion is because Jesus loves little children. The reason we're talking about abortion is because the New Testament tells us how John the Immerser, John the Baptist, jumped in his mother's womb when Mary came into the room pregnant with the baby Jesus. Because this life is formed by God in the womb, whether these kids are born in the midst of welfare, whatever the situation, you don't murder them in the womb. If you listen to the show, Susan, you'll see that we are very Jesus-centered. And because we are Jesus-centered, we know that we are called to bring about change in the society. So please listen. I'm glad you work as a nurse. I appreciate that. But please listen. Hear what we have to say. All right, folks, we've got a number of you on hold. If you can stay with us, I will take some of your calls in our next hour of programming, all right? So if you stay with us on the line, normally I don't do this, but I'm going to do it today. Stay with us, and we will talk to you on the other side of the break. I want to hear from some of you that have been involved with abortion. I want to say this because I didn't get to calls about the highly inflammatory subject of should we hold up pictures about what's taking place in abortion clinics. I know it upsets people. I know little kids can see it that wouldn't normally see it. I would dare say that most of the people calling in with those angry calls that we played earlier, most of those people calling in with those angry calls are actually what would be called pro-choice, actually pro-abortion people, and that's why they get so upset. That tends to be the history. One of the things that helped eradicate slavery in the British Empire was a vision of what was really happening. If that can happen inside that clinic, let the world know and let people repent. And we will be there to offer them life. Here's my bottom line, friends. God, the Creator, forms life in the womb. And when we take that life in the womb, we are doing that very thing. We are taking life. We are snuffing out a human being that God created. God breathed life into that baby in the womb. Let every mother contemplating abortion look at an ultrasound, look at the baby that's been formed, realize the precious life that's there. And if she can't have it for herself, there are others who will care for that life. And those who had abortion, Jesus died to forgive us and cleanse us from our sins. Turn to him. Ask him to wash you clean. Ask him to remove the weight of that, and he can have mercy on you. Join us. AskDrBrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. Lots of resources for you. And remember, our trip to New York, April 2nd through 10th. The itinerary is on the website. If someone asked you, well, what is so bad about abortion, would you have a solid answer? You will today after this broadcast right here on The Line of Fire.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know what? I could talk about a lot of things on the air here, and everyone would go, whoa, it's exciting. Oh, boy, oh, I can't wait to hear the show. If I say we're going to talk about abortion, some of you would say, abortion again? I mean, that's all Christians have talked about for years and years and years. Others would say, abortion? Come on, talk to me about deepening my relationship with the Lord or how to study the Bible better. Others would say, thank God, abortion. We've got to talk about this because it is the greatest blood guilt on America. Michael Brown, glad to be with you today on The Line of Fire. We'll sort through these issues today. We'll ask some questions. What's the biblical case against abortion? I know many of you have been through this, but many can't even give some solid scriptures to say why abortion is so wrong. What if someone doesn't believe in the Bible? What can we tell that person about abortion that would urge them, stop them, cause them to reconsider whether they will abort their baby or not? And then there is the controversial practice of various pro-life groups of holding up signs showing aborted babies and body parts of aborted babies in front of abortion clinics. Is that a good practice? Should we do that? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown. I want you to hear what John Piper had to say about abortion. Play clip number one.
It's because you can't comprehend it. You just can't believe they're going to do this. They're not doing it. You can't believe it. And people don't believe it in America. They won't believe it. I read a few years ago one of the most impressive things. If we could make all Americans watch a live execution in the electric chair, capital punishment would disappear overnight. I don't know if that's true or not, but I do know this. It's just as likely that if we could make every American citizen watch a doctor pull a little arm, snap it off, and pull it out, and little leg, and snap it off, and pull it out, and put it here like cotton being taken out of your mouth by the dentist, to make sure he's got the head, the torso, the leg, and the arm. If we could make every American watch it and mark it.
All right. Quite a quote there from John Piper. I've heard people say, you know, if I lived in the days of slavery, I would have done so. How could these people claim to be Christian? How could these people claim to be followers of Jesus? How could preachers and people using the Bible, how could they claim to be followers of Jesus and engage in the slave trade or have slaves or not speak against slavery or not fight against slavery? That it's impossible. Any follower of Jesus, if I was there, I would have done something. Well, I share that indignation. I share that viewpoint. But perhaps we're being a bit self-righteous. Perhaps we're patting ourselves on the back a bit too much because my generation, I'm 56 now, we have lived through the legalizing of abortion on demand in America through the passing of Roe v. Wade. And yes, it's being chipped away. And yes, progress is being made. And yes, Congress is even talking about defunding Planned Parenthood. And yes, public opinion, by God's grace, is shifting. But we're talking about the slaughter of tens of millions of lives in the womb on our watch. That concerns me as a follower of Jesus. So we're going to talk this through. We're going to take your calls. If you've had an abortion and would like to tell our listeners why they should not have an abortion, 866-34-TRUTH. And if you're pro-choice, so-called, call.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
If there's going to be a moral, cultural, spiritual revolution, it's going to bring changes in our attitude towards life. It's going to bring changes in our attitude towards life in the womb. The devaluing of life in the womb has been felt in every area of our culture. The revolution begin here. 866-34-TRUTH. As we ask some questions today, what's the biblical case against abortion? What are some strong reasons why abortion is wrong, is evil, should be rejected, and other alternatives should be provided to the mother? And is it right to hold up those signs that provoke so much anger, signs depicting aborted babies in front of abortion clinics? We do 2 hours of broadcasting every day. Some of you get 1 hour, some of you get a half an hour. But you can catch all 2 hours on our website, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. You can do that every evening and catch up on what you missed. I interviewed Abby Johnson in the first hour, and she's the author of a book, Unplanned. She worked at a Planned Parenthood clinic, had some conflict because she saw the greed involved. She saw how they were moved by money in terms of we've got to get more abortions, etc. She saw how certain people in particular were victimized by abortion. And then when she watched an ultrasound, having had her own baby and seen a baby in the womb, when she watched an ultrasound of an abortion taking place, that changed her life. She has joined the forces for life. Many people, when they come face to face with the reality of abortion, have a heart change. But we're not just talking about a Christian issue. We're talking about an issue that affects mothers all over that have had abortions, regardless of their faith or lack of faith. There are results. There are consequences. Marizo in Bronx, New York. Did I pronounce your name correctly? Lost Marizo there. Wanted to tell us that someone who had two abortions, she wanted to let us know that the guilt does not go away. Let's go to Eric in Jersey City, New Jersey. Thanks. And Eric is gone as well. Just opens up a couple more phone lines. I had a discussion last segment of the last program with a woman from India, a nurse, who was upset. Unfortunately, I couldn't really get a word in and had to stop her from talking so I could get my point across. So I don't know the rest of what she had to say. But she was upset that we were talking about abortion and why aren't we just focusing on Jesus? Well, of course, if you listen to the show yesterday, it was about how to enjoy God, how to have a deeper relationship with God. We're opening up the scriptures day and night on the broadcast here. But it is because I care about Jesus that I care about abortion. The reason that most of the people involved in the pro-life movement are committed people, committed to the Lord, Bible believers, is because from that perspective, they see the importance of life and the importance of life of the innocent. Nancy in New York City, you wanted to weigh in on this. What's your take and your own background?
Hello, are you speaking with me?
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I'm Nancy. I didn't hear my name. I heard when you said my name.
That's you.
I'm a nurse. Yeah, I'm a registered nurse. I've been one since 1970. And I saw when the passage of Roe v. Wade, I was stupid enough and biblically ignorant enough to have an abortion in the early in the middle 1970s, actually.
And Nancy, can I just ask you why abortion seemed like a viable option for you at that time?
Well, it was my husband and me. And my husband was unemployed, and I was, expecting a child and just started a new job. And I just could not, I couldn't see a way for us to handle it. We already had another child. And we sought counsel with, except from the Lord, I must tell you. And we went to even family and friends, and they're like, well, you're going to have to take care of the child this year. And that's what made me go and do it, but I felt empty afterwards. And as the years went on, up until the early 1980s, when I got serious and really accepted Lord Jesus Christ, I was having horrific nightmares off and on, terrible. And they were always storms, and they were always things chasing me and all kinds of things like that. When I came to the Lord, a lot of that went away. And then sometimes, even in the dreams, I would turn on the thing that was chasing me and say, be gone in the name of Jesus, and it would be. But it was from that. It was from that. And, I did suffer psychologically from it. I suffered from depression and a few other things as a result. I do know, not being biblically ignorant anymore, and I don't hear this much from ministers, I think because it probably just doesn't ring a bell like it did with me. But when I first read the 94th Psalm, at the very end of the 94th Psalm, it speaks negatively about passing laws that shed innocent blood. And I'm here to tell you, as a nurse, those babies have blood very early on, hence the reason for the beating heart, very early in pregnancy. That is innocent blood. And if they didn't have actual blood, they've got the DNA that will make blood. And, you know, and of course, any child in the womb is a human.
Nancy, why do you think so many women have bought into the idea that this is not a baby, this is just fetus, this is just fetal tissue, you're just disposing of fetal tissue? Is it just a lie of convenience?
Okay, let me explain something, and this is something for the pro-life people. The word fetus, F-E-T-U-S, is Latin for baby, okay? A lot of people are not educated medically. They don't understand. So when Planned Parenthood tells that lie to people, they think that that's the truth. It is not the truth. The invention of the ultrasound, which, by the way, I was around for. I was a nurse when there were no ultrasound machines. When the ultrasound machines came on the scene, they were only used in certain circumstances. So I didn't even get to see one for years and years and years. But once that ultrasound has come into play, and once you have very clear pictures now on the ultrasound, of what a child is, it is crashing all of that, because a lot of it was medical as well as biblical ignorance back at that time.
You're absolutely right. The stats are very high that women who will see an ultrasound of their baby before having an abortion, very, very high percentage, will not go through with the abortion.
Right. And I'd like to tell you one more thing. Last week, it did such good to my heart. I saw a show on Channel 7, No Ordinary Family. It's about the superhero kind of family. Mm-hmm. And one of the characters in there is actually pregnant out of wedlock. Do you know they showed ultrasound on the television when they were showing her baby?
Wow.
They actually showed it on TV. I said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Because anybody contemplating abortion, seeing that scene on that show, couldn't have it hidden. And here in New York, they're trying to hide it from people. They passed a law saying that crisis pregnancy centers had to advertise that they do not provide abortion.
Yeah, and you know,
to steer people away from them.
Yep, and the fact is, some states are trying to get laws passed where the woman is required to see an ultrasound before the abortion. God will prevail and make a difference. Hey, Nancy, thank you for weighing in. I appreciate it. God bless you. Amy, I want to talk to you. Stay with us. I'll talk to you on the other side of the break. And then we're going to raise a bit of controversy here and talk it through. But if you go to our website, askdrbrown.org, click on the Line of Fire. We've provided a lot of online resources, references for you to help you understand how to defend a pro-life view. 5 minutes or less. And some have put this together, a summary of main philosophical arguments. So even without using Scripture, we'll come back to Scripture, but even without using Scripture, they use the acronym SLED, S-L-E-D, SLED, which stands for size, level of development, environment, and degree of dependency. Size, true embryos are smaller than newborns and adults, but why is that relevant? Do we really want to say that large people are more human than small ones? Men are generally larger than women, but that doesn't mean that they deserve more rights. Size doesn't equal value. That's the S. L, level of development. True embryos and fetuses are less developed than the adults they'll one day become. But again, why is this relevant? 4-year-old girls are less developed than 14-year-old ones. Should older children have more rights than their younger siblings? Then E, environment. Where you are has no bearing on who you are. Does your value change when you cross the street or roll over in bed? If not, how can a journey of 8 inches down the birth canal suddenly change the essential nature of the unborn from non-human to human? If the unborn are not already human, merely changing their location can't make them valuable. And then D, degree of dependency. If viability makes us human, then all those who depend on insulin or kidney medication are not valuable, and we may kill them. Conjoined twins who share blood type and bodily systems also have no right to life if we're going to say that dependency means that you do not really exist as a fully viable and vital human being. SLED, S-L-E-D, size, level of development, environment, degree of dependency. Again, helpful resources on our website, Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown. org. Those of you contemplating abortion, go there, check it out. You'll save a life. You'll save your own life in more ways than you realize. Back with more, and we will get into some controversy. Stay with us.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, I was reading someone who was criticizing our viewpoint, criticizing the radio show, and saying that the moment the music begins, you know you're going to hear the words abortion and homo. This is a gay person writing this, so they were writing in a disparaging way towards us. You're going to hear abortion or homo within seconds. Well, aside from the fact that we cover lots and lots of issues here, we're focused on Israel certain days, we're focused on general Bible questions other days, we're focused on just walking with God and apologetics and things like that, abortion is something that we've hardly talked about, even though it is a tremendously important subject in God's sight because of the issue of the sanctity of life. So in point of fact, we talk about it disproportionately little compared to the importance of it. As we're dealing with gay activism, it is an assignment that the Lord gave me and a weak spot in the church right now, and I have spent years working on a book that just came out, so it's natural we'll bring that subject up. But my concern is, what's important to the Lord, and what should I as a follower of Jesus do in society? 866-34-TRUTH. 866-348-7884. Isn't that what moral cultural revolution comes down to? Lord, what's important to you, and how can I live this out in a life-changing way here in this world? We are called to go and make disciples. That is the Great Commission. We're engaged in it day and night in our ministry school with our missionaries around the world and our outreach in our community. I would dare say that our church community fire, our school, our own lives as leaders, that we're engaged in outreach, evangelism, missions as much as any group of people you'll find. My question is, how do disciples live? Once we make a disciple, how does a disciple live? What does a disciple do in society? Certainly, they've got to follow the biblical mandate to visit fatherless and widows in their affliction and keep themselves unspotted from the world. In other words, care for the poor, the needy, the hurting. And that means standing for life. 866-34-TRUTH online, askdrbrown.org. Amy in Richmond, Virginia, thanks for holding. Please tell us your own story, Amy.
Hi, thank you, Dr. Brown. May God bless your ministry for all that you do every day. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
I just want to express that I have been a abortion I experienced that in my past, and I believe that our society in general, we have become desensitized. There's the only way that I can express why would someone commit a murder, a crime of such magnitude. And it wasn't until I came to the faith in Christ that I tremendously got a very deep forgiveness for what I have done. But the regret is always there. And the appallness of the severity of the crime it's unbelievable. It moves you to feel what you did not feel before. It's like now I see that it was a horrible thing to do. And when I got married, and shortly after I conceived, my ex-husband was very displeased, and he actually had someone lined up to give me an abortion. And I called my mother, and she actually tried to help. I was brought up in a Catholic background in a Latino country, and over there it's very common, even though the Catholic Church is opposed to it, it's still over there. If you don't have any money, if your husband says no, or if you're not married, they will do it under the table. And everybody keeps it quiet. There's no remorse. There's no value for that precious life. Mm. And I believe is that you grow up believing the lies of Satan, the crafty lies, that you just fall right into the deception, and you go and you do it. And when I did it,
when my ex-husband said, I'm going to, you know, get rid of it, I called my mother, and my mother said, oh, no, you're not going to go that way. If you do that, I'm the one that's going to kill you. But then when I, after a few years, I conceived again, and there again, he was very displeased with the baby, and I was just so hurt. My heart was a stone, and he took me to the abortion clinic, and I agree, and I did it because I wanted to please him, and I didn't want to disappoint him again. And I felt like, well, this is the way it's going to be. This is the way it's going to be. And I remember at the exact moment when that doctor was using the suction machine, his eyes connected with my eyes, and he saw through me the regret, the deep sorrow that I felt at that moment. It was like somebody just took something out of my chest. And I cried and I cried. For many years, I just felt so guilty. And I still think that it was a boy. I don't know if it was or not, but I have something in me telling me. And through my faith in Christ, I have comfort. I regret it, but I have comfort that I know when I enter through the gates in heaven, I'll see my baby. And that he has deeply, deeply, anyone out there that is contemplating this or that has done it, I'm just telling you, in Christ, there's healing, true healing. And that doesn't mean that we pay for the consequences. Regret is a consequence.
Yes.
But I have now felt so against it. I looked in the telephone book, 5 pages with different clinics and places advertising for abortion. And my heart just cries out to you. And I pray, Father, help us. And I pray every day, I plead the blood of Jesus over every child that is conceived, every baby, because this blood is vast, it's immense, it covers everything. So we have to pray for those babies and for the mothers to be pulled out of that deception, because it is a deception, and your heart is like a stone. If you're hurt, if you're being lied to, you will go through it not knowing what a deep, deep sin murder you're committing. So that's what I want to share with you all.
Amy, thank you for being so eloquent, and thank you for opening up and sharing a painful story and reminding us, yes, there is forgiveness for every sin. You still have regret of a life that's been lost and a life that was taken, but there is complete forgiveness in Jesus. And I'm sure you have ministered to women who are still struggling with the guilt of abortion, reminding them there can be complete forgiveness in Jesus. There may be regret, but there can be complete forgiveness. And I believe you've also spoken to others who are struggling, wondering about should I, shouldn't I. They're in the exact same position that you were in back then. And your words will save lives today. Amy, thank you so much for calling in. God bless you.
God bless you too. Thank you.
You know, we've been hearing from a number of people today. I think in my years of radio, the calls I received in the first hour, now in the second hour, among the most moving calls I've received from both fathers and mothers who were involved in abortions in the past. Every life in the womb, precious in God's sight. We'll get into some of the biblical evidence and talk about the controversial practice of holding up signs of aborted babies in front of abortion clinics. When we come back, stay with us right here on the Line of Fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We are focusing today on one of the great issues for the church of the 20th and 21st century, namely the issue of legalized abortion on demand. What is the role of the believer in terms of this? Is this something that should concern every believer? What's the biblical case against abortion? What makes abortion so wrong, so evil in God's sight? And what about those people who hold up those signs in front of the abortion clinics showing pictures of aborted babies? Oh, come on, can that possibly be right? Michael Brown, thank you for joining us today on the Line of Fire. Here's the number to call where you can weigh in, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, we've got resources waiting for you to dive into. AskDrBrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. Joey, play again clip number two. I played this in the first hour of our programming earlier today. These are calls received by an organization that has signs showing the pictures of aborted babies, and they have these billboards and trucks and signs in different parts of the city. Other pro-life groups do this in front of abortion clinics. Listen to some of these responses. These are voicemails left for this organization.
My son is home throwing up after seeing one of your billboards for the second day in a row. I am going to do everything that I can to get you out of my neighborhood.
Little children do not need to see that. I think it is so wrong.
We've got two kids who are now crying because they saw that. You're violating my rights and my children.
I'm appalled by the photos you have on your vehicle.
My daughter starts crying in the back saying, "Scared, Daddy, truck, scared."
You should be absolutely ashamed of yourselves.
My 2.5-year-old just saw your truck and has been in a crying fit.
Y'all have got some nerve. I just had to explain to my 5-year-old daughter why there was a picture of a dead fetus on the side of 5 trucks that we just passed.
I just want to let you people know that you're pretty sick and disgusting.
I can't believe that you could be so calloused and rude to do something, to expose children to something that they need nothing to know nothing about.
My child was screaming, crying, having a fit, and wants to know what it is.
How dare you fly that banner over top of a T-ball practice?
I think you people are sick.
What you are doing is totally unacceptable.
I think you people should be shot.
Stop flying your banner over Fire Island. I don't want to explain it to my 7-year-old.
You people should be in jail, and I'm calling the police.
I am outraged at what you've shown on that banner.
I am horrified. I cannot believe it. You guys are all disgusting. I can't believe that you would ever advertise something like that at the Beast.
My 14-year-old was in tears because of the picture that you have chosen to put on your big van.
Those signs are too disturbing.
All right, Will. We'll jump in here. So these pictures stir up a lot of emotions. Is this something that we as believers should be doing? We're asking a few questions about abortion today. What's the biblical case against it? Why is it so evil even without using scripture? Why is it so wrong? And what about the practice of holding up those signs? How interesting that just showing what actually happens inside an abortion clinic, what is happening to human lives, babies, inside the womb, the place from whence we all came. Showing that gets people so angry to the point that they call the people showing those things sick and disgusting. Some even say you should be shot, you should go to jail. I wonder what they think about those performing the abortions. I wonder if they recognize that what is sick and disgusting is the slicing up and vacuuming out and burning up of babies in the womb. Oh, a little controversy for some today on the Line of Fire. We'll take your calls, 866-34-TRUTH. Stay with us.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I've been listening to calls in our program, in our 2 hours of programming that we do every day, listening to calls from mothers who've had abortions and share the pain, the regret. If you miss those calls, go to our website, AskDrBrown.org, click on the Line of Fire tonight, and you'll be able to listen to all 2 hours of programming, some very poignant, moving calls we've received. Jerry in Salisbury, North Carolina, you've got a little bit different take that we need to hear. What's your perspective, sir? Hello? Jerry, it's just silence All right, Jerry, you there?
Yeah, okay. I'm here.
All right, go ahead, sir. What's your take on the abortion problem?
Well, my main point was that I think that the promotion of abortion really lies with the men. I think the men of this society have promoted abortion for obvious reasons of convenience with an amoral sexual, persuasion. I think that if it was left up to the ladies, I think that by and large it wouldn't happen. But the men really push the women to abortion. So that's just my point.
So let's have sex without consequences. Let's not punish the woman with a pregnancy, to quote our president. All right, thank you, Jerry, for weighing in. May all the men listening to whom that is applicable step back and think. 866-34-TRUTH. Barbara in Jacksonville, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi. I wanted to just have a different perspective. I'm very blessed to have not performed an abortion when I was 16. I'm very blessed to have raised that child, and I choose now to try to volunteer in clinics and save one child at a time. I don't choose to pick it. I don't choose to show the pictures, which are graphic and offensive to some. But because I have such great fortune to have raised this child, and for whatever reason she decided to be an OBGYN, I am just very blessed. And I think that it's a responsibility of not just women that are struggling with the demons of abortion, but those women who even thought about it, they need to be on their knees and just being in a position of supporting other women and going out and trying to tell women they love them and it's okay and how things can turn out well. We don't live in a world that wants women to stand up on their own. If you choose to have an abortion, it is your choice. A man, while they have power to influence you, does not have the final say over our bodies. And if we choose to have an abortion, then we're the ones that live with the consequences. So from my perspective, picketing, I don't choose to do that, but I do choose to volunteer my time and try to tell people that you can have a son or a daughter. You don't know what they will be. Don't take the hope away from that life, and don't take the opportunity away for that person to have a voice for our Lord.
Barbara, hey, I appreciate that, and thanks for the work that you're doing in the clinic there. 866-34-TRUTH, and a reminder, ladies, no matter what pressure men put on you, you'll be the one living with the consequences more deeply. Although we received a call earlier today from Philip in Houston, father of eight with one disabled child among them, and he and his wife, before they were believers, had two abortions, and he broke down crying as he shared his story. But the women in particular feel the weight of it, often the rest of their lives. So men, you're pressuring a woman to do something that she is going to have to live with for years to come. Since we have been in the greater Charlotte area with our ministry organization, we have been involved working with pro-life groups in the city, both with crisis pregnancy centers and with those who stand in front of abortion clinics on a daily and weekly basis. They're not screaming, yelling, and cursing people. They are sharing the love of God. They're sharing the gospel. They are offering hope. We will discuss the issue before the show's out. We will discuss the issue about the rightness or wrongness of holding up those signs. But let's hear something positive that is taking place among those who are standing to make a difference. Julie in Weddington, North Carolina, what can you tell us?
Hi, my name is Julie. Dr. Brown, thank you so much for taking my call today.
You're welcome.
My 14-year-old daughter came home one day and said that she just had a heart for the unborn, so I took her out of school, and we went to the Pregnancy Resource Center in downtown Charlotte, and we learned about what goes on there at the clinic. And I will just tell you that the director did point out that the banners and the signs and are not effective for a lot of the clients that come in. They do feel pressured. They are very scared. But the things that are going on there are just amazing. These women are prayed for. They're loved on first. And many lives have been saved. I think that she said that in the last year, 3,500 babies have been saved through this pregnancy center. And I wanted to tell everybody that in the listening area that in Charlotte, North Carolina, on April 30th in the morning, there'll be a walk-a-thon. You can contact the Pregnancy Resource Center on 4th Street, and they can give you more information about getting a form where you can find donors and then go ahead and walk. And we're going to be out there, my daughter and her little small group, and we're going to have tie-dye T-shirts at one of the booths, and it's just going to be a real positive experience, I think, even for those high school girls to see what really goes on.
Got it. Hey, Julie, thank you for weighing in, and thank you for the positive testimony. We have friends who are working courageously for life, for the unborn in the greater Charlotte area. It's our privilege to join together with them, and they are seeing many women decide not to have abortions, and then we work with other ministries in the city that then work with those women, give them baby showers, help provide gifts and help for them. Those that want to adopt their babies, these ministries help point them in the right direction. So some controversy about the signs. Sarah in Akron, Ohio, what's your take on this?
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Good. I was just listening to the show, and I am a Christian. I did have a pregnancy terminated prior to becoming a Christian, but I was interested in saying that the signs are absolutely absurd and disgusting, but they are true to what takes place in an abortion clinic because I worked there for 5 years. However, I was going to also say that the way the protesters act is awful, and they call themselves Christian. Christians, people who are not saved are looking at them, the hate that's there, just the total package of hatred for people who give abortion, who perform abortions, and I'm really glad to hear that they have come about doing it a whole different way out of love instead of hate. And it's good to hear that because you can't reach anyone with ugly signs, with vulgar language, calling yourself protesting against abortion. But what you can do is hate the sin but still love the sinner. And that's what it sounds like is taking place, which is a really, really good thing. I'm glad that groups that protest abortions are doing it the real Christian way, talking to these women, letting them know that this is a sin, but you do have a choice. It's not a godly choice is what you're about to do. Maybe I can tell you how to go about understanding Christ and the love he has for you and your baby unborn. That's what I'm glad about saying, because you can't force your Christianity or your so-called Christianity in protesting abortion on someone who doesn't know Christ, number one. That's why they're probably having an abortion. I did know Christ at the time, but I wasn't in love, I guess you could say, with Christ. I didn't know the full extent of his love. So the protesters really need to look at their hearts first and then try and change someone else's heart about abortion, because I do think it's wrong.
All right, Sarah, thank you for weighing in. I appreciate that very much. That was Sarah from Akron, Ohio. All right, I'm going to get to as many calls as I can on the other side of the break. So everyone that's on hold, think through what you want to say. Formulate it clearly so we can get to as many of you as possible. I will say this. We have worked with pro-life groups for years now that work tirelessly in front of abortion clinics and selflessly, week in, week out, sharing the gospel, sharing the love of God, sharing hope, saying there is a better way. I've never once heard an incident of anything using vulgar language, nor have I heard of them being engaged in hateful speech. I assure that everyone that we've worked with through the years would renounce that in a heartbeat. But for those that are in a wrong spirit, let this be a reminder that it is the Spirit of Jesus that will draw people. Hey, we've got an important resource, very relevant to our society today. We want to make it available. Stay with us.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I want to just take a minute or two, very quickly, give you an overview of our biblical case against abortion. Then if you'll go to AskDrBrown.org, click on The Line of Fire for today's show. I'm looking at the website. We've got lots of material, lots of information that'll help you give a strong, rational case against abortion, all right? That's AskDrBrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. Today's show, lots of resources right there online waiting for you. We do well to point to all the passages that speak about babies in the womb as real entities. Two nations are in your womb with the pregnancy of Rebekah, speaking of Jacob and Esau. John the Baptist, John the Immerser, jumping in his mother Elizabeth's womb when Jesus, Yeshua, comes in as a baby in his mother Miriam's womb, Mary's womb. So you've got a baby filled with the Spirit from the womb. You've got God telling Jeremiah that before he was in the womb, formed in the womb, God knew him. Paul talking in Galatians 1 about being set apart from the womb to service to God. So these are real life entities, real human beings in the womb from the moment of conception. Psalm 139, speaking about being formed carefully by God, limbs put together, formed carefully by God in the womb. Those are very, very important passages to look at. And then the Canaanites and then the Israelites were guilty of sacrificing their children to idols and burning them in the fire. These are children, of course, out of the womb that were being slaughtered, but it is that same destruction of human innocent life and then Jesus caring for the little children and focusing on the innocent. Those things play in strongly. And then Proverbs 24 that tells us to rescue those who are perishing and being led away to slaughter became a trademark verse for the group Operation Rescue. Let me get to as many of your calls as I can. Stephen in Paul Harbor, Florida, what's your take, sir?
Hello, thank you for taking my call.
Yes, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I just wanted to say that I believe that picketing and the protesting at the abortion clinics is absolutely necessary in order to try to discourage those who are confused and uncertain. However, the displaying of horrific images that would hurt and scar the minds of bystanders who have nothing to do with it, I feel that is absolutely wrong. I mean, because what you're trying to do is save one by hurting many, and I don't believe that Christ would agree that that is a good thing.
All right. Thank you, Stephen, for weighing in. I appreciate it very much, sir. Jeff in Kernersville, North Carolina, what's your take on the signs?
Good afternoon, Doctor. The signs, I think, are fine. I'll narrow this down to one point. We live in the land of free, home of the brave, and we make choices every day. I drive a Chevrolet. You probably drive something else. You chose where you ate breakfast this morning. I did, too. And we have given the other side the pretty word, choice, pro-choice. Let's look at that. What is the choice? The choice is life or death. If I'm pro-life and you're not, what are you? You're not pro-choice. You're pro-death. We need to set aside the term pro-choice, start calling it what it is, pro-death, fight these people in the courts of public opinion. If the majority of people understood that that is a dead child after an abortion, this thing would go away.
And that's obviously what the signs convey. Jeff, thank you, sir, for weighing in. Fred in Atlanta, what's your take?
Yes. This is Fred?
Yes, go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, my comment is I believe that the church, and from a different aspect, we need to remove the hypocrisy from our testimony by when we're calling out these abortionists. But let's look at the church and the husband and wife that are Christians committing abortion in a sense by getting their tubes tied, getting vasectomy. I mean, this hurts the testimony for the church. If we're supposed to be for life, then why aren't we totally for life?
Yeah, you know, Fred, yeah, I'm just going to jump in here. You raise a point that we will take up on a future show. The whole subject of birth control in any form and other more radical forms of birth control, whether that is against the pro-life concept. Thanks for raising. We don't have time to get into it today, but I assure you, sir, it's something that we want to come back to and discuss. Thanks for weighing in, Fred. And Francine, I know you have a lot to say. We're real short on time, but please tell us your own story.
Yes, my mother is actually, she used to picket quite often for pro-choice, actually. And
wow.
She said that a lot of the people that were Christians, appalled her because they would scream profanities and just be outright nasty. And to me, picketing in that manner hurts people worse. Those women that are walking into these abortion clinics, they're already struggling a lot. We can go about this in a much better way by love. Earlier you had a woman on the show that said she did it out of love. And to me, that is a beautiful thing. Me personally, I had an abortion about 10 years ago when I was 17. And I still keep the ultrasound. Back then, I guess they require you to have ultrasound. And I still have the ultrasound. And now being 27 years old and not having any children and wanting children really bad, it is a crushing life experience for me because I think, wow, my child could be 10. Eight years ago, I was like, wow, my child could be 8. And every December, it's like a mourning period. It's not a Christmas period for me. I am a youth pastor now, praise God. I was not a Christian when I did it. And I teach my kids abstinence. That is the best way to go about it. It's a blood covenant when you lay with a man. And you're going to remember that person for the rest of your life. There's so much more out there for children to realize. And these school systems now are just telling kids, hey, look, wear a condom and it's going to be okay. And that is not the fact at all.
No. Listen, Francine, I've just got to jump in, but thank you for sharing your story. And may the Lord use it to save many other lives, to encourage people to take sexual relationships as God intended within the marriage covenant and to value the life within the womb. And may the Lord redeem these things and give you many children of your own in the coming days. Thank you for weighing in, Francine. We've heard from some folks who've had a lot to say, friends. Abortion is a critically, critically important subject. Yes, little by little, the tide is turning. Yes, things are happening. Congress even talking about defunding of Planned Parenthood, but let's not wait for Congress. Let's do our part. My bottom line, friends, this is a very, very weighty issue. This is an issue of life and death. This is an issue of the snuffing out of potential life. This is an issue that leaves much regret, much pain. This is an issue where the church must stand in love, in grace, in mercy, in truth, in wisdom. May the Lord anoint and help each and every one of us, each and every one of us, to find out from God what is our part, our role in eradicating abortion on demand in America today and offering life and hope to these mothers, to these fathers, and their children. That is my bottom line. AskDrBrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire for lots of resources. For our important DVD series, Can You Be Gay and Christian? Tackling another critically important issue today. Call us at 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Back with you tomorrow.